Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening to episode 2 of the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. This is Emily. Wanted to drop in a note and let you know that we recorded this podcast prior to Hurricane Irma making landfall. In fact, we don't even know the path of the storm. It's still being tracked. Our thoughts and prayers are with all affected when the storm hits. The episode will still go live. So we hope that the lighthearted and fun spirit of our podcast can bring some joy to some folks who might be going through a hard time after a hurricane. Here we go.
Thanks for listening to us this week. We've got a great show packed up for you. No.
You know what you need to say.
Yep, I do. The greatest fishing shows of all time.
Fishing TV Hall of Fame.
There you go. That's the name of the episode.
Stop talking. Stop. Can you stop recording for a sec? They talk much?
The last legend we have on the list is George Poveromo.
Okay. George Poveromo.
Let me start it.
It's time for the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. Serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously.
Thanks for listening this week. We've got a great show for you where we get to discuss the greatest fishing shows of all time, as well as the up-and-coming shows that may one day challenge the legends. I'm your host, Nathan Henderson, and I'm joined, as always, by Travis Thompson.
Thanks, Nate. One of the things we'd like for you to do here at the Cast and Blast Florida podcast is subscribe to us wherever you listen to your podcast, be it the podcast app, Stitcher Radio, Overcast. If you could subscribe to us, leave us a review. That helps us out tremendously with the rankings as far as podcasts go. It helps other people find our show. The other thing we'd love for you to do is follow us on social media where you can keep tabs on all of our upcoming shows or giveaways or contests, anything we may have going on out there. So our social media handles are at Cast and Blast FL. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and we're always out there. Nate, tell us about our show.
Today we're going to be looking at the Fishing TV Hall of Fame, and there are some real legends in the list we've got today.
So we're going to be talking about, we've broken our shows up into classic TV shows that everyone should know. These are the legends. These are the ones we all grew up watching. And then we've also got what we term the up-and-coming TV shows. These are, some of these guys may actually be legends too, but we didn't quite classify them as legends yet. And then at the end of the episode, what we're going to do is put some of these shows into the Cast and Blast FL Hall of Fame. So let's get started. Nate, what's the first show on the list?
First show on the list is the legend himself. Bill Dance.
The GOAT.
The GOAT.
Greatest of all time.
I mean, as far as freshwater, even saltwater, he's recently been doing a lot of saltwater episodes with, around Florida. But this guy's been on the air for almost 50 years.
Tennessee hat.
Tennessee hat, sunglasses. The sun is just starting to rise up over the treetops, and it's going to be a beautiful day. Just waiting to see. I won't be around for long, so don't even bother to call. Because on a day like today, there's one place I'd rather be. It's Fishing with Bill Dance.
Oh, I love it. One of the iconic fishing songs, although I could not remember the tune. I had to YouTube it because I can remember all the other tunes. I couldn't remember that one. Let me ask you this. Have you seen the fishing bloopers? Like, that's still one of the most shared fishing videos on the internet.
I mean, he's got millions of views on YouTube from those things.
All right. So I'm going to go number two. We're going to go Roland Martin.
Yeah.
Which, single-handedly, Roland Martin has the best fishing show theme song, The Great American Fisherman. He'll fish anywhere.
That's it.
Wherever there's water, Lord knows that he'll be there.
That's right.
He's kind of like a gypsy. Awfully hard to hold. But The Great American Fisherman's got fishing in his soul.
That's right.
Roland Martin, when I was a kid, I met him once at Little Gaspereau Island. I thought this dude was like the icon. He's from Florida. He's from Clewiston, I think, right on Okeechobee.
He owns a marina down there.
There you go. Legit guy, legit fisherman.
Sure.
And him, Bill Dance, and there's one more make up a group called The Legends, and it's TH3 Legends, which is really cool in this day and age to have a number in your name somewhere.
Yeah.
That's big time.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yep.
Who you got third?
Third, we got Hank Parker.
Oh.
I mean, guy's been doing it as long, for forever. He won a bunch of all these bass tournaments back in the day, started doing the TV show thing. He does. And today he's doing hunting and fishing shows with his sons, Hank Parker Outdoors. And, man, he's a legend.
Hank Parker is my favorite because growing up as a Southern Baptist in the South, I always felt like Hank Parker was like 30 seconds away from a prayer meeting. Like, yes. I thought he was going to begin and end this show with prayer. Like, Hank just loved Jesus with all of his heart. And he also just had this real calm way of talking about him. You just wanted to listen to him for like hours on end. And you just, he was just easygoing. You felt really at peace and at ease. Love Hank Parker. I haven't seen him lately. I haven't seen it. I probably haven't watched that show in years, but if I was flipping through and saw it, I'd watch it.
Oh, you tomorrow. Stop and watch. You stop and watch. I mean, it's just the way it happens. All right, what's the next one, Trav?
One More Cast with Shaw Grigsby. You know, I kind of always felt like Shaw Grigsby was in Hank Parker's Kool-Aid a little bit. Like, I couldn't tell them apart.
Yeah.
When I was walking around in Bass Pro Shops, like, I'd see a crankbait with this dude on it with a mustache, and I would always buy it because I thought it was Hank Parker. But as it turns out, it was usually Shaw Grigsby.
Right.
I don't know what Shaw Grigsby's doing these days.
I think he's still making episodes. I mean,
I did see a thing where he looked like a Jedi holding a lightsaber for Trokar hooks. So dude's still getting out there. He's still thirsty for it and going after it.
I think he also competes on the Major League Fishing Circuit, which is a new bass fishing format.
Really?
Yeah. And it's like all catch and release. And there's a guy on the boat and they weigh him right there and they keep, it's a live scoring type thing. It's actually kind of cool as far as fishing goes. But the other thing I love about Shaw Grigsby is how excited he gets every time something bites his hook. I mean, it's like, it might as well be a 300-pound tarpin every time something eats.
And it's a 2-pound bass.
Yeah.
Or a 6-ounce crappy.
He freaks out every single time.
Can we call him crappy? We're Florida guys. Can we just call him Specs?
Specs. Yeah, okay. We're going to call him Specs.
All right. We're not going to call him crappy.
But just his excitement and love for fishing is contagious.
Who's next?
All right, next we've got Fishing with Orlando Wilson. And I haven't thought about this guy in years. Like, I'm vaguely remembering what this guy looks like right now.
I couldn't pick Orlando Wilson out of a lineup. No, I couldn't either. A police lineup. However, speaking of fishing songs, I definitely know Orlando Wilson's song went, I called a gal who was an angler and said, if I don't go fishing, I'll go out of my head. She said, I'm sorry, honey, I can't go because I'm watching the Orlando Wilson fishing show.
What a great.
I can remember the song.
That's
and
great.
I remember he had a Braves hat, and I thought, does every, because Bill Dance had the Tennessee hat with the T.
Right.
Orlando Wilson had the Atlanta Braves hat with the A, and I was like 4 years old, and I'm like, does everybody just have a single letter? Like, is there 26 fishermen out there? And
right.
Who gets Z and who gets Y? You know?
Right. Right. Another classic legend of a fishing host.
I did Google him and read that he's retired in Atlanta, still fishes all the time, but.
Well, that's what retired people do. They fish.
Right. Well,
even retired fishermen.
He's been retired for way longer than that, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Trav, what's next on the list?
All right. Next one. Next up is Jerry McGinnis, the fishing hole. And the thing about Jerry McGinnis is I don't even really remember his show that much.
I don't.
I remember his voice. And I remember he bought into ESPN or they hired him or something. And he kind of narrated your Saturday morning fishing adventure.
Yes.
So in between the commercials and the shows, Jerry McGinnis would come on and tell you, you know, in this real calm, cool, collected voice. And he always had these little wiener dogs running around with him.
Yes.
And he was like in this farm pond in the middle of Arkansas.
Yeah.
And he was like, up next, we're going to have Shaw Grigsby. And he's catching largemouth bass on Lake Nantahala.
Right.
I don't even know where the heck that is, but I wanted to watch it because I liked Jerry McGinnis so much. He was like Prozac for fishermen. Like, he just calmed you down.
Calmed you down. Episodes. Yep. Get ready to go. We got another one coming.
Also, I remember that Jerry McGinnis was like best friends with Bobby Knight. And so, like, once a month, ESPN would do the special because it's ESPN, right?
Right.
SportsCenter or so. And Bobby Knight would be on there with Jerry McGinnis. And I always thought Bobby Knight was like this really bad dude because he threw a chair on the court.
Sure. Sure.
Turns out he wasn't that bad a dude because he liked to fish with Jerry McGinnis all the time. And so.
Automatic.
Besties, and yeah.
Automatic.
Yeah, he was in as far as I was concerned. Yeah. I wanted to go play basketball for Bobby Knight at that point because we would go fishing and hang out after practice.
Yeah, watch out for flying chairs. Next on the list, Jimmy Houston. Kissing bass and kicking. No, I'm just kidding. This guy, he's been on the air for a long time, and he's kissed every bass in America. Yep. That was him.
Jimmy.
That's him, man.
Made me a lifetime memory out here fishing, Jimmy Houston and me. Hey, Jimmy, I think we'll have to go again sometime. Those words just send chills up my spine.
Absolutely.
Like, I can't sing it. If I could sing it, I would sing it for you, but it's just, I could get misty eye. That's like Just As I Am or Victory in Jesus type stuff right
there. Yeah, absolutely. All right, what do we got next, Trav?
All right, I put the In Fisherman on the list.
Sure, why not?
We're a Florida show, but as a kid, you know, we didn't have the internet. So we didn't have all this information at our disposal. We didn't have amazing podcasts like this bringing the latest and greatest news of the
day. That is true.
So the In Fisherman was a magazine I could buy or subscribe to and read in between, you know, Sports Illustrated issues coming to my house or whatever. But it gave me some other kind of entry into the world of fishing that I wasn't already familiar with.
Right.
Hal and Al Linder, the Linder brothers, they were like, eventually we got to where we had it on TV and I could watch it. And I think it was on the Outdoor Network or one of those stations. Anyway, they were always smallmouth bass fishing or walleye fishing or something. Or so it turns out it looked kind of boring to me, but as a kid, that was a big deal to me, the In Fisherman.
Yeah, you could, and they will teach you how to catch perch through 3 feet of ice.
There you go.
If you wanted to know that, too.
With a salmon egg.
Yeah. Yeah. So the next one we've got is Walker's K Chronicles with Flip Pallet.
Oh.
This guy introduced me to what it meant to produce a great fishing show. Like, the camera work in this show for 1995 was incredible.
Okay. My favorite part of the show is Flip always doing a monologue voiceover.
Ugh.
And I made one up, something I thought Flip might would be able to use. Flip, if you listen to this, hit me up and I can send this to you. He'd say it in his voice. He'd be, slowly, time left us with an indelible mark of what the once glorious river of grass, as the Calusa had called it, had tried to become as the Everglades shorn her way southwards towards Florida Bay. And, dude, I didn't even have a freaking clue what he was talking about, but I was like, that's beautiful, man. That's freaking genius.
It's poetry. It was poetry.
Flip is the king of the Florida crackers.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Like he's all in with Yeti. He's all in with Howler Bros. He's always got his airboat out gigging frogs on the Kissimmee River. So, yep. I mean, dude's
shooting hogs and turkeys in the swamps.
He's who we all want to be when we grow up, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I want to be Flip Pallet when I grow up.
I got next is one of the greatest of all time, Jose Wahebe.
Rest in peace.
The Spanish Fly. And I distinctly remember a bunch of episodes with Jose. And for those that don't know, he was killed in a plane crash. He was piloting his own plane. He was killed in a plane crash probably 10 years ago now.
2012.
Okay, so it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, 5 years ago.
Wow, seems like forever ago.
It does seem like a long time ago.
One of the first episodes I remember watching with him, he was in Beaufort, South Carolina, catching monster redfish. I never will forget that because I saw that episode like 50 times. And they were out of a Ginu fishing, and they were just hammering these big redfish.
Wow.
The other parts I liked about Jose were his mustache. Like, he was truly a sex symbol for the fishing TV personality elite. And he also wore those coach's shorts, like a softball coach would wear in church league.
Like the Chubbies are now.
Yes.
Yeah.
He would wear those fishing.
In 1992.
With like a polo shirt tucked in.
Yep.
And dude was rocking it.
Oh, absolutely.
He had no shame.
He was, another legend. The way he presented his show, I learned a lot from watching his TV show. He was always very good about stopping and kind of explaining what he was doing, why he was doing it this way, why they were using this specific bait or fly or whatever. And, you know, I learned a lot from that guy.
Yeah. He was one of the first ones that you saw a lot of quality fish being caught in salt water for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, they'd chum up yellowtails behind the boat, catch a crap ton of them, and he'd break out the fly rod, start catching them on a fly rod, tell you why he was doing it and this, that, and the other. I mean, just, it was an amazing show.
Yeah, great.
Who's wrapping up the legends of fishing TV shows? Who you got?
So the last legend we have on our list is George Poveromo.
Love George Poveromo.
He's great. He names all of his boats Mark, M-A-R-C.
Mark 4, Mark
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think he's up to like 6 or 7 now.
Yep.
And they're all Makos. Super nice guy.
I've met him. I went to a George Poveromo show when I was like 15 or 16, and I won for the 16-foot C-squirt hooker that my dad and I had.
Yes.
I won a downrigger.
A downrigger
at a George Poveromo show. Dude was just down to earth. He loved fishing. He loved to talk about fishing. He'd stand around and talk about it for hours with you. And he's still running those shows like all over the country. They do a tour. I just watched one of his fishing shows a couple weeks ago where they were, I want to say, in Miami catching snook inshore. Dude was just awesome. And you can tell he spent a lifetime doing this. Like, he just oozes the knowledge as he's on the boat.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it's not one long infomercial like some shows have become. It's just it's a really high quality. That's why we put George into the Classics Arena.
Yeah, yeah.
So that wraps up our classics. Talking about up and coming shows, Nate, these are just the newer shows probably that we see on Sunshine Network and we both watch every Sunday
and
when
they're
on. And
that could be legends of their own right one day.
They could. And these are fun because these are the shows that are like hot and hip and current.
Oh, yeah, sure.
First up, we got Flats Class, C.A. Richardson.
C.A. Richardson. That's a great show. He is the artificial master. If you want to learn how to catch fish on artificial bait, watch his show.
I love C.A. because he's got that kind of calm demeanor.
Just, oh, yeah.
He reminds me of Hank Parker, minus the Jesus factor. But I'm not saying C.A. is not down with Jesus or anything. I'm just saying he doesn't always do a prayer meeting at the beginning or end of his show.
Right, right.
But he's always takes a few minutes, does like a tip of the show. And it's a really well done, good camera work.
Oh, yeah. Great good camera boats. Work.
They go to Louisiana and catch those big redfish every year.
Yeah, great locations.
Tarp and stuff.
He fishes Tampa Bay a lot, which I really like because I think that's his home water. And so it's kind of hits close to home for us.
How about Saltwater Experience?
Saltwater Experience, man. That's one of my favorite fishing shows on TV right now.
I agree, but I want to hear why.
Why? I just, the way those two guys, Rich Tudor and Tom Rowland, interact on a boat, you can tell they've been fishing together in a long time.
Yep.
And they kind of know each other, what each other's going to do next. And it flows really good. And just the interaction they have between each other just feels like great, great friends.
Here's fishing. What I love about that show, okay? They're in the Keys. I mean, they run all over from the Keys to the backcountry, the Everglades
right,
or whatever.
Right,
and they got that nice yellowfin. They're running around in.
Beautiful boat.
And it feels like this to me. I don't know either guy, but it feels like this to me. Like when the fishing sucks, they go shark fishing.
Yes.
And it seems like they do that like four or five times exactly. a season. Like yep. they just get over whatever they're trying to catch, like the tarpon aren't biting, the permit aren't cooperating, whatever. And they're like, F it. We're going shark fishing.
Yeah, yeah.
And they hang a bunch of barracuda carcasses off the side of the boat, right. and they catch sharks or jewfish or whatever.
Giant just, sharks. Yeah. Like 8-foot bull sharks.
And I think that's how I would be. Like, that's how I am. Like, at some point, if the fish aren't biting, you just go catch something else to pull on it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, sharks bite all the time. Right. If there's enough chum and blood and guts in the water, sharks are going to bite.
How about real-time Florida sportsman George? I've met the dude.
God's,
I can't ever say his name.
Yeah,
right.
I don't know.
God's?
Yeah. I hope he's not offended by this. But.
He's not.
Yeah, the cool thing about that show is they're taking that 24-foot bay boat and going 20 miles offshore, and then they'll go way in the back country, 10 inches of water, yep. catching redfish.
He definitely shows the versatility of his boat.
He sure does.
I have a couple of things about George Goss and this show in particular. One is there's a picture, and we'll put it on social media, where I took my family to the Florida Sportsman Expo.
Yeah.
And we met George Goss. But however, we wanted a picture. My daughter wanted to get a picture with him. But however the picture lined up, my wife is standing with her arm around George, and the other three of us are over there. And it looks like George and Emily took a picture with the single dad and his family. It's really awesome. It's one of our favorite pictures. We joke about it all the time. It's in our family slideshow. The other thing that's kind of funny is my daughter, we watch this show a lot.
Sure.
And she loves Fresh Catch, the music on there. It's like this calypso, banjo type music stuff. My son, everybody loves it. So we were like, hey, we're going to go fishing and listen to some of that. And let's just say there's a lot of themes mentioned in those songs once you get it off the soundtrack of the show that are not necessarily family
not
friendly
the most,
themes.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of recreational usage of
substances. Yeah, okay. And
sounds like a lot of the, we'll just leave it there.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good. Next one we have Addictive Fishing with Blair Wiggins.
Play it. I love that heron.
That's
at the
a
start
great
of the show.
Heron at the beginning, man. Oh, that's so good.
What do you think of Addictive Fishing?
I really like Addictive Fishing. I like his energy, you know, all those Mogans he catches.
Yeah.
And
I get a little worn out sometimes that it's like a long infomercial, but then there's that one episode where he fishes with Greg Snyder, like in New Smyrna Beach or something, and they're catching these 48 and 49 inch snook.
Yes.
Have you seen that one under the bridge?
I think I did see that one.
Oh my gosh. They're catching them on like DOA Terror Eyes.
Yeah, those are the biggest snook I've ever seen in my life.
Oh my God, they're tanks.
They're huge.
And then what I love is when the host of the show gets so excited about a fish.
Yes, me too. Because you know these guys have caught thousands and thousands and thousands of fish. And when they get excited about fish, it really makes you get excited about that fish.
Totally agree. We got two Rick Murphy shows, Sportsman's Adventures and Chevy Florida Insider Fishing Report.
Yep.
A, I know for a fact that Rick is the consummate professional, and I love that. I love to watch his show. He's always fishing with Jeff Page or somebody, and
right.
they're like going at it. You can tell they're tournament partners and they're buddies. you talked about the relationship and saltwater experience. It's similar.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
The other thing, when you talk about the Chevy Florida Insider Fishing Report, I have two words for you, and that's Bree Gabrielle.
She makes
Miss
the
Florida
show.
Florida 2016. Big fan, Bree. Big fans. If you'd like to be a guest on this show, you're welcome.
I think you and the rest of Florida are big fans.
Yeah, well, I thought I was kind of there first.
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
All right, next we have Fishing the Flats with Henry Wozchuk.
It's kind of like having a hard-to-pronounce name is a requirement for some of these guys.
I'm telling you, isn't it?
Did you know that Henry Wozchuk was a Canadian Football League All-Pro?
I did know that. I actually did know that.
My favorite segment of his show, and I don't think the show's on the air anymore. I haven't seen it in a couple of years. But my favorite segment is when they do the grilling on, like, the Big Green Egg.
Yeah, the cooking
segment.
And
evidently
segment.
There was some kind of controversy. There used to be this guy named Chef Ted Reeder that was on the show, and then he wasn't there anymore. And there was this guy that kind of looked like him, but wasn't him. They called him Dr. Barbecue.
Okay.
And I really want to know what went on behind the scenes there. I'd like for somebody to do some investigative reporting into the background of Fishing the Flats with Henry Wozchuk, like the internal politics. Maybe an op-ed piece or something, really some hard-hitting journalism.
Yeah, yeah. My favorite part of that show is you always know when he's about to catch a fish.
Because it, black and
it
white.
Goes from black and white, and it's like the music's kind
of
low.
It's like the Wizard of Oz for fishing.
And then all of a sudden, as soon as he sets the hook, you hear the drag scream, and everything pops into color.
Pops into color, the music gets...
It's, yeah. And here, oh, it's a big one, you know? I think that's just a great aspect of that show.
The other thing I think we would be remiss if we did not mention is that he's sitting in a 29-foot Boston Whaler in 2 feet of water catching sea trout in Sarasota Bay.
Yeah.
That's definitely a highlight for me. I'm just like, how the heck did they get that thing there? And do they not have the same tides that I'm familiar with?
Yeah, right.
I'd need a lot of bug spray and water to make it through that. Okay, so this brings us to our Hall of Fame debate. This is the first one we've ever done here. And as we do these episodes, we're going to have a debate at the end of the show, and we're going to induct somebody into the Cast and Blast Florida Hall of Fame. The way it works is Nate gets an ironclad lock. He gets to pick one show. I get to pick one show. Then we both have a candidate for the third show. If by some chance we agree on that candidate for the third show, it's in and it's over. If we disagree and can't settle it, we're going to let you guys help us figure it out on social media. So, Nate, with that, who's your Hall of Fame lead pipe lock and why?
My Hall of Fame lock is Spanish Fly with Jose Wahebe.
Love it.
I mean, the guy, he's a Cuban immigrant, came over from Cuba in the 50s, escaping Castro's regime. And he started fishing when he was about 8 years old, grew up in South Florida, became a fishing guide in the Keys, got in with guys like Stu App, Flip Pallet, and Lefty Cray.
Legends.
Legends of the sport. I'm pretty sure they're in the IFGFA Hall of Fame.
When you have reels named after you, you've arrived.
Yeah. You've done all right for yourself. And his show, like we kind of said earlier, it's so informative. And he's so just, he's got that buttery kind of voice. He's such a showman. He's
plus the mustache, which he did shave the mustache off in later years.
He did. That's right.
My mother may have wept when that happened. Yeah. I have no qualms with you putting Jose Wahebe into the...
I mean, he's a legend. Rest in peace, man. We miss you.
In fact,
you were still doing
I may
episodes.
Watch some episodes of The Spanish Fly tonight.
I did some earlier today preparing for this.
Really?
Yes.
And did you just want to sit there and watch them?
Oh,
the
yeah. Like, there's a tribute video on YouTube. And it's great.
All right. In that same vein, I'm going Flip Pallet, Walker Skate Chronicles. There is no other candidate in my mind. As a Floridian,
yeah.
This is the Cast and Blast Florida show. It's got to be Flip Pallet.
He's
right?
The ultimate Florida cracker.
You know, he can monologue his way in and out.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, he'd be pulling a canoe down the dirt road and loading it into a drainage ditch somewhere in the Everglades and paddling himself back in there with some lifelong buddy of his.
Yep.
And then they catch micro tarpon, and you just tell with every cast that the dude is just in it to win it.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, no tournaments, no, he doesn't have like a NASCAR jersey on or anything
right.
like that. Just salt of the earth guy, Flip Pallet, first ballot, ironclad lock, Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So.
I'm in on that one.
That gets us to our debatable picks. Now, that's not to say that everybody on here is not worthy. It's just we're only allowing three.
Right.
These are our rules, and we're making them up. So, who is... Your second pick, the one we're going to debate. Who's yours? Then I'll give you mine. Then we'll fist-a-duke it.
All right. So my
is that a word?
Fist-a-duke it. My second nominee is Bill Dance.
Bill Dance Outdoors.
Bill Dance Outdoors. The Tennessee hat, the sunglasses, the blooper videos. Guy's been on TV for 50 years. I mean, he's a legend in anybody's mind.
Let me say this. if you brought your guitar on the show and sang the song for us, I would be willing to let him go in. Oh, no debate, no qualms for me whatsoever.
Too bad I don't have my guitar with me.
Yeah, that's a shame. I think Bill Dance is a strong choice, just given his recent rediscovery so to speak, yeah, by social media. Like,
right,
dude's everywhere again. Like, I can't go 3 minutes without one of my aunts sharing fishing bloopers with Bill Dance on my newsfeed on Facebook.
Yeah, him running his knee into his trailer hitch.
But I have to contend with you a little bit. That's okay. An awesome one when he backs the boat in and it fills up with water and then slides off the trailer. Yes. Have you seen that one?
Yeah, that one's great.
He flips, he sets the hook and falls back over. Yeah. I'm making your case for you and I shouldn't do this, yeah, but I am.
Yeah. Keep going.
My submission, because it's the Florida, Cast and Blast Florida podcast. Okay. So I want you to take that to heart. I really want you to be in a prayerful way about this suggestion is Roland Martin. Roland Martin's from Florida. He's a good guy. He's right up there with Bill Dance as far as legend goes. He's right up there with Bill Dance as far as theme songs goes. In fact, he may have a better theme song.
I don't know about that.
Roland Martin was the truth back in the old days of the bass circuit. Like, dude was winning tournaments left and right. Like, he was the OG. So I get where you want to come down on the Bill Dance thing. I really feel like it's got to be Roland for our Hall of Fame.
Right. And where I'm going to come at you here is it's the sustainability of TV shows. Now, Roland Martin still may be making TV shows, and I believe he is. But in order to have the longevity and the popularity that Bill Dance still has today, you got to be doing something right. I mean, he just exudes charisma and connects with an audience.
He's a great American fisherman. He'll fish anywhere.
He'll fish anywhere, yeah. Well, so will Bill Dance.
He'll fish in Okeechobee, Kissimmee, and Rodman Hole, Georgia's Lake Lanier, West Point, Seminole.
That's a lot of places.
I mean, he's the great American fisherman. How can you argue with that? I know I'm leaning heavily on a song.
You are leaning
this.
Pretty heavily on the song.
A song and a birthplace, yeah. But I'm going to keep pushing on it. So are we at an impasse?
I believe we are at an impasse.
Okay, so what's going to happen is tomorrow, we'll post this on social media. We'll let you guys decide, and then we'll let you know who gets inducted into our Hall of Fame, because this is important. Right. The people need to know.
That's right.
I'm going to guess that Bill and Roland are going to be waiting by their phones for one of us to call them.
Congratulations.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's time for Keep and Release.
Keep and Release is the portion of our show where we talk about whatever thing is on our mind this week that we want to keep and whatever's on our mind that we want to throw overboard. So first up, we always do with releases. Nate, what's your release for this week?
My release for this week, since hunting season's quickly approaching, people like to wait until like the week before season opens to get their stuff ready.
Okay.
So working at an archery shop, I see this all the time. Guy will come in the weekend before opening day. Man, I need a string, I need a sight, I need a rest, I need my bow tuned. And we're already pretty backed up as it is. And I tell the guy, look, man, it may be a week before you get your bow back. And he's like, what? What do you mean? I was like, probably shouldn't have waited till the weekend before.
Yeah, I see the same thing at like Tenerock, people going out there shooting.
Yes.
Once duck season begins.
Right, right.
And then they book a charter and they wonder why they can't hit anything. They go through a box of shells and kill one wood duck.
Or their gun jams because they hadn't cleaned it all year.
Yep.
Things like that.
So you're saying basically get ready.
Yeah, just get ready.
All right, that's good. Mine is a product this week. I bought last duck season a iPhone case for my new iPhone. It's a dog and bone case.
Dog and bone.
It's what's called a topless waterproof case, meaning the one half of the clamshell seals so tight against the glass that no water can penetrate.
Right.
Test it all out. It's going to work great. Problem number one, no one can hear me on it, ever. So I contacted the company. I'm like, look, this is becoming a problem. Like, I'm having to go to marriage counseling and everything else over this phone case. So it's becoming expensive in other areas of my life. So they sent me a new one, which cracked within 3 weeks of receiving it, right on the front of the bevel, like where it seals.
Yeah.
So I'm just, it's a good idea. It seems like it could be a good product, but I got to turn it loose, man. I can't, two strikes and you're out with me on that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because as much fishing and water related activities we do, you've got to have a decent case that keeps moisture out.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't throw our phones in the water all the time. But
did you jump in the water one time with the phone in your pocket to rescue a boat?
I did. That is right.
At a marina where it was going to drift away almost to the other dock?
Yes. And
so it was safety first.
Zero thanks from the lady who dropped her rope.
Yeah.
And she was a little rude about it.
I distinctly remember that happening. There was a lot of drama about that at the moment.
All right. So my key this week is a FlexSmart X2 Bluetooth player for your car.
Okay.
So if you are behind the times.
As you and I both are.
Yes. I drive an 04 F-150.
Okay.
I do not have an aux cord port.
Yeah.
At all. And I have an iPhone 7, so I don't even have I have to use the adapter, right, to even use an aux cord. The most important thing is I don't have one in my vehicle built in. So I got this, and it plays through your radio, connects to your phone via Bluetooth.
You tune your radio to like a low band frequency?
Yeah, yeah.
It'll help you scan for it.
Yeah. And, you know, you just find one that does not play anything. You set it up, and I listen to podcasts on it.
So you could listen to us on it?
Oh, yeah. You can listen to us on it. Music, podcasts.
That's like the dream come true, to be able to listen to us in an 04 F-150.
That's right.
That's a dream I've had recurring.
Yeah.
So
it's a good dream.
My key item this week is the Florida Fishing Reels, the Osprey line. It's a new product.
Yeah.
The company's based in Tampa, and they kind of stepped up and said, hey, we want to compete with Shimano. We want to compete with Daiwa. We want to come out with something that's for the serious angler. Obviously we're in the saltwater fishing capital of the world.
Sure.
And I've been using these reels since the end of June, beginning of July.
Mm-hmm.
And I have hammered them. My clients have hammered them. They've been dunked. They've been laid in sand. They've been, just abused. The smoothest drags I've ever used on a reel. Yeah, they just are unbelievable. They're like butter.
I'm going to have to check those out.
Yeah, they're really nice. I switched from Daiwa Ballistics over to these, and I've lost nothing. I mean, if anything, I've upgraded.
Wow. So,
really nice reels. Check them out, floridafishingproducts.com. You'll be happy you did.
I'm William Thompson, and it's time for the 2-Minute Will. First up, Travis. What is one item you could never live without?
One item I could never live without would probably have to be my iPhone in this day and age. Mm. I'm a digital junkie. What about you, Nate?
I would say I really can't live without guns. I really like guns a lot, like my shotguns.
You don't sound like one of those fanatics that people talk about.
No, definitely not. But I really do enjoy to hunt, and that's mostly what I use my guns for, just hunting. So
I want to change my answer to guns, though.
Okay, yeah.
That was a cooler answer, though.
Okay.
Question 2, Travis, what is your favorite video game? And yes, it can be an app.
All right, right now, my favorite video game is actually, I'm almost embarrassed to admit this game on my phone called Clash Royale. My son got me into this, and it's kind of got some aspects of chess and fantasy football in it.
Okay, all right.
I'm digging it. I'm really good at it. If you guys want to hit me up, it's TravisD1222. Like, I will whoop you in some Clash Royale.
All right, my favorite video game right now, I don't play a lot of video games, but if I had to pick one, I keep going back to Red Dead Redemption, which is a game that came out in like 2007. But it's an Old West type game, open world. It is a lot of fun. You ride horses, you get to hunt, you get to, you know, go into saloons. And
it's like a modern day Oregon Trail?
Yeah, sort of.
Okay.
Sort of.
Do you get dysentery when you cross a river?
No. No dysentery.
Do any oxen die?
I mean, I'm sure you could shoot the oxen if you wanted to, but nice. they don't just like die randomly.
Ford the Missouri River at any game?
No.
That would be big time.
No.
Question 3. Travis, blondes or brunettes?
I'm going to plead the 5th on this.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. Join us next week as we do a fantasy football-style draft of our favorite duck species. So, wood ducks, bluebills, mallards,
I'm doing scouting reports right now, my man.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be big time.
I think blue-winged teal is on the uprise.
You think their stock is rising?
I think their stock is rising. Okay. Yep.
Should we get Mel Kiber? See if we get Mel Kiber to co-host for this next week?
Yep. Until next week, I'm Nathan Henderson.
And I'm Travis Thompson.
Thank you for listening.
Cast and Blast Florida podcast is the brainchild of Travis Thompson and Nathan Henderson. Production and editing done by Emily Thompson. That's me. Make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app, leave us a review, and follow us on social media at Cast and Blast FL. Have a great week.
We allow Tom and Marie out here fishing Jimmy Houston and me. Hey, Jimmy. I think we'll have to go again sometime.
Well, the sun is just starting to climb up over the treetops. And it's going to be a beautiful day. Just waiting to see.
I remember this now.
Well, I won't be around for long, so don't even bother to call. Because on a day like today, there's one place I'd rather be. It's going fishing. Bill Dance Outdoors. Fisherman, he'll fish anywhere. Anywhere there's water on nose, he'll be there. He's just like a gypsy, mighty hard to hold. He's a great American fisherman. He's got fishing in his soul.
Oh, my goodness.